Do what? Isn't this slow down? Hallelujah. But when you begin to break down word after word, you don't get very far in the scripture. And the majority of pastors and evangelists, they'll take a text and they warn you before they do this. They say, we're going to take this text and go from here. And they don't ever get back. But aren't you glad that God in this hour is revealing His Word? And the revelation of the Word of the Lord is what's going to bring about a manifestation of God in the earth. Hallelujah! And if you're going to do anything for God, you're going to have to know the spiritual interpretation of the Word, not just historical. Not just a history of the Word, but a spiritual concept of the Word of God. And most folks, now here's where you make a mistake. Most of you will go to the Webster's Dictionary to find the meaning of a word. Now, you'll never find the spiritual meaning of a word in Webster Dictionary. The reason that word is in the dictionary to start with is just because it's used a lot. But the Bible tells you itself, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Interpret the word with the word. Praise the Lord. Now, if you take the word, let's see if we can find an easy one. Reprobate. Now, reprobate, according to the word, is counterfeit silver or anything that's counterfeit. Now, you won't find that in Webster's like that. But you've got to understand we are interested in dealing with the Word of God.
Amen.
So, the Word of God said, try your faith. In other words, test your faith to see if you are reprobate or not. See if you counterfeit or not. And when you begin, well, I don't want to get into that, but a lot of folks don't even know what faith is. Faith is not a thing in the world, but a manifestation of love. Pardon me. And that's the reason you don't see it work much. The Bible said faith worketh by love. And in other words, if you don't have love, it don't work. It's a manifestation of love. Well, glory. Turn to the 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Somebody asked me yesterday what I thought we was in the third dimension. I thought we was in the third day or the seventh day, which we are. But there's many definitions and of the moving of the Spirit in that era. You see, how many of you know that, well, in Matthew 24, if you'll just turn to this one scripture, I'll try to lay a foundation. Matthew 24 and 13, it simply says, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Is that what it says? Amen. Now, in the original, the Arabic and the Greek, it simply says something else. Either the abideth under the pressures till he comes to the teleos, shall have the Zoe life. Now, does that make sense? Somebody said, well, what is the teleos? Teleos is the end of a prophetic pattern. And you know who the pattern was?
Christ.
Christ. Well, so if you'll stay under the pressure until you come to the complete pattern, which is teleos, hallelujah, then you'll have the Zoe life, the God life.
Glory.
And then you can fulfill verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. By who? Them that arrive at the teleos and have the Zoe life. Hallelujah. Now, how many of you understand? Now, this is the spiritual interpretation of this scripture. But you will not find very many people that will go into the teleos. And not everywhere the word end in the Bible means that. But I think there's about 27 of them means that. Now, that's where, I hope I don't offend you, but if I do, you just offended. That's where the rapture theory comes in. Amen? And he's not talking about the end, he's talking about coming to the full pattern. Hallelujah! Maturing and becoming like Jesus Christ and being a manifestation of God in the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. And that's what you, how many of you can see how folks get thrown off because of the definitions of the Word of God? And that causes that makes you Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, and one of the, you know, holding more holiness than Heinz has got. They don't have a 57, and we got a whole lot more varieties of holiness than that. From the black stockings to the white stockings. Oh, glory to God. Is it that way over in England, brother? Amen. All right. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So now when we're dealing here with this river, and I read the first scripture I read yesterday morning was Psalms 46 and 4. There is a river. And what does that river do? Make glad the city of God. Now the city is the church. Hallelujah. The city is the church. Abraham looked for a city. Hallelujah. Moses had a congregation. Now, so these here preachers that think about, want to brag about their big church, they can't hold Moses alight. And he set the pattern through the Midianite priest. You know, some folks say, I don't believe that old Midianite priest. He's the one who instituted the elders. He instituted it and God backed it up. And anything God backs up, it's all right. And so Jethro told Moses, it's too big for you. Look you out some elders. And he looked out 70 elders. And God endorsed it and come down and divided Moses' spirit in the 70 different parts, and yet Moses was stronger than he ever was. You'll never understand God's dividing.
Amen.
Hello? Imagine God coming down and taking you and taking your spirit and dividing it in 70 different parts. And you still wind up stronger, hallelujah, than you was when you started.
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's a way to divide and be bigger. Churches haven't learned that. Oh, glory to God. This church gets so big, we're going to divide it. Amen. Well, why are you going to divide it? We're going to set one of the elders over so many people and see that they're supported until they're strong enough to take care of, build another church somewhere. Come on, saints.
Amen.
This is not a one-man show no more. We are interested in world evangelization. Well, praise God.
Amen.
And you might as well get up and get busy. And I'm talking to women and men. Somebody said, women? Yes, I'm talking to women. Because they have a right to minister just like anybody else.
Amen.
Well, praise God. 1 Chronicles 16th chapter says, David divided both to men and women the same portion. Now that's whenever the ark was brought back. That's when the kingdom started to be preached. Anybody that don't believe that, don't believe in the kingdom.
Amen.
You ready to go, Brother Bob?
Yeah.
Bob, my right hand, stay here whenever comes the reading. I depend, I guess everybody depends on Bob too much. I told him last night. Amen. We have got to learn to be servants. Well, let's look at verse 7.
Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other.
When I had returned, now I want you to understand something. He returned back to the house of God. Threshold is where the water was gushing out. And he had already experienced the fourth dimension of the Spirit. He knew what it was to go into knee deep or ankle deep. He knew what it was to play in ankle-deep water with the tadpoles. And the tadpole is not a thing in the world, but a little demon before it grows up. For out of the mouth of the false prophet and Antichrist... He opened his mouth and three unclean frogs come out.
Amen.
Now, oh, hallelujah. Now, if you're going around here looking for a frog, you're looking for something you're not going to find. But what is he talking about? He's talking about in this end time, words are coming out of these false prophets and so on to fight against the real word of God. You don't understand. I was talking to this young preacher. He said he's having a lot of new age folks. And well, that don't bug me one bit, because new age is using the same scriptures that we kingdom folks use, but they're using it in a different slant. And if you don't know the definitions of the kingdom interpretation, then you're going to be deceived. And you're going to be deceived by words. Because they're going to come and talk the same language you talk, but they don't mean the same thing you mean. learn that words is our enemy.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. How many of you know that? I mean, you really know it in your spirit. Words are your enemy.
Amen.
Well, let me give you a foundation scripture that you'll never doubt no more, and you'll have it in your Bible. How many of you understand the devil never talked to Eve until he got her by herself? Hello? The devil never talked to Eve while Adam was there. Why? Have you ever thought? Why? Adam heard God's voice. He heard the words from God.
Amen.
Eve heard them from Adam.
That's good.
Oh, praise God. I've got to be careful. I can't go into this too deep. But your whole problem is you don't recognize the war that you're in. And the whole thing hinges on the war of the Word. So the devil knew. I can't fool with Adam. He's heard the Word from God.
Amen.
But I'll get this woman. Can I say it? Come on. You won't get mad at me, will you, ladies? That's why women don't pay no attention to their husband now. I'm not trying to be funny.
Amen.
I better get off of that. Come on. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Most women will tell their husband off at the drop of a hat. And you know I'm right. No, you don't have that problem. You in the fix that God said it wasn't good. Oh, glory to God. Should I just drop this and go on?
No, drop the bomb in this. You got to get this.
So the enemy waited till he found Eve alone. Now, you know that, don't you?
Yeah, when it gets
us.
And the first thing he said, hath God said.
Amen.
That's it.
No, God hadn't said it to the woman. Adam had translated it to the woman. He said, for God knows the day that you eat of this, you're going to be like him. Now he has blinded her eyes to her actual condition. She's already like God. Hello? She's already like God. But now he is sowing some deceit that you have to do something to be like God.
Amen.
Boy, that'll teach. Come on. How many of you know that'll teach? And how many of you know every church outside of the knowledgeable of the kingdom churches are hung up on that?
That's right.
Do something.
Amen.
Do something.
Yeah.
You'll be like God.
Amen. That's right.
Well, hallelujah. Yeah. The more you do, the more unlike God you are.
That's good. That's good, brother. Amen.
Hallelujah. And so the serpent beguiled Eve, not Adam. Well, Adam fell. Yeah, the woman beguiled Eve, Adam. Now, I'm in the Word. The woman brought the fruit to Adam.
Amen.
And said, it's good. And Adam, henpecked as he was, eat of the fruit, and immediately had to hide. And not only did he hide, he sewed fig leaves around him to make him an apron. Oh my God. You talk about teaching. Now here is some foundational truth that really needs to be taught. Folks are trying to cover themselves with man-made objects and man-made doctrines.
Amen.
Now this will teach and preach anywhere. And when they heard God, they hid. His voice was walking. If you're a thinker, I tell you, so many people don't even think no more. They just read. I read that, I'm thinking, my God, how can a voice walk? Have you ever saw a voice walk? Hallelujah. Now, you couldn't see God in that day. He's a spirit. Now, this right here hinges some of the most dangerous grounds that you've ever covered, and you should understand. I wish I had time to show you both theories of this and both sides of this. There's a doctrine that says Adam and Eve didn't have any flesh until God killed an animal and clothed them with skin. Well, he did clothe them with skin.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes, yes, amen.
And why did he made them coats of skin? And so they jump on that and said, well, they didn't even have no likeness. You couldn't see them. They was invisible until God clothed them with skin. Of course I've got skin on me, but I've debated with these folks before. I like to do that. And they said, well, you see, Dad, they clothed them with skin. I said, that's true. But I said, where did he get the rib?
Amen.
They always overlook something.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. And if he had a rib, what held it together?
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. Let's get off of that.
That's good,
huh? But you preachers, you got something to teach from now on.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And that's what you come to these meetings for. Or I always go to the meeting. Oh, I'm looking for a new thought.
Amen.
Somebody said, what do you do with a new thought? Oh, glory to God. You build everything from a thought.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you're still behind. If that's all you got. Woo!
Glory!
But you see what God is doing in the now. is bringing us right back to the garden. But you see, people don't understand that. The enemy caused us to be kicked out of God's garden. We're going back and kick him out.
Amen.
How many of you want to go back there and kick him out?
Amen.
That old serpent, that Satan, that devil that caused us to come out here and move out of divine health and move out of divine supply. We having a toil and with the sweat of our brow. Somebody said, well, we ain't going back there. Oh, hallelujah. That's what the book said. Joel chapter 2, he said, the land before them is as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is a desolate wilderness. What do you think he gave you the Holy Ghost for? To think like God, to talk like God, to act like God. He don't want you to act like you're a fool. He wants you to think like him, talk like him, act like him. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Oh, I can't act like God. How do you know? You don't know how God acts. You've acted like humans and the devil so long, you don't know how God acts. He never reacts.
That's right.
And that's all you know is a reaction from what you stinking feelings.
Amen.
Change your stinking thinking.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
They accused me of dressing in black because I was going to lower the boom on you this morning. But how many of you are beginning to realize, hallelujah, if you start thinking right, you'll start talking right, and you'll start acting right.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, I acted natural, that's the truth. That's the truth. But we're trying to get you to act supernatural.
Amen.
Supernatural. And I return. Well, let's get back over here. Return. Come to the very beginning. And what happened?
Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country.
Now, you and I had better understand what he just said. When he said the waters are running toward the east, you are constantly going towards something new.
Right.
You're not going to settle on anything that's old.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's a new day dawning.
Amen.
There's a new era. What is it? It's the third dimension. It's the third day. I'll try to get into what goes on in this third day, the seventh day. Number one, seventh day, God sanctified it and rested on the seventh day. And then when sin entered, God lifted and left the earth. God ain't staying nowhere where sin abounds in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, where sin abounds, grace do much more abound. Now, I know. You questions begin. How can that be? Forget about your questions. Every time you question something that God says, faith stops.
Amen.
Faith stops. You don't realize it, but you're slowing yourself up in the moving of the Spirit.
Amen.
It flows toward the third day.
Amen.
And every last one of us have questions when we approach something new.
Yeah, that's right. Just keep going. Amen.
Praise God. All right. I ain't going to get too far in this.
Yeah, you will.
Next verse.
And go down into the desert and into the sea.
Amen.
Which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed.
How many of you know that there, you talk about healing revivals, you talk about deliverance, you haven't saw anything yet. And the first place, everything you're seeing on TV and on this mass evangelism is a false presentation. They give a mass altar call, and then they say thousands have been saved. Are you that stupid? You have never saw a mass birth in your life. My God, blood be running up to the knees if all them people had been born again, as they say. But it's a spiritual thing. That's right. It is a spiritual thing. But it's still an individual thing. Hallelujah. But you talk about deliverance, you haven't saw deliverance yet. And where's it going to start? Woo, my God, it's going to the desert.
Yes, sir. Oh, God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
What do you mean it's going into the desert?
Lost.
Hallelujah. These dead, dry churches.
Yes, amen.
It's going to flood them out. And even though they don't believe in deliverance, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Folks are going to jump up in the middle of a dead sermon and say, I'm healed.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
And they'll say, elders or deacons, escort that individual out. It's in the Bible. Let me show you something. The guards that went after David from Saul, they went over there to kill him. Is that not right? But when they got so close to him, the Bible said the Spirit moved on them. And they were converted. He sent another group, and they were converted. Finally, old Saul said, if you want anything done, you got to do it yourself. If you get it done right, I'll go. He didn't get but so far, and God knocked him down in the gully. He pulled his clothes off, lay there and prophesied all night. Get out of this thing that you've got to have it. One, two, three. Well, that's the way I talk. Save, sanctify, the Holy Ghost. No, God can give you the Holy Ghost, sanctify you, and save you all at the same time.
Yeah. That's right.
My God, get off of that junk.
Amen.
You got to tell God how to do something.
That's right.
You don't know how God... Oh, hallelujah. You don't know how God's thinking. He said, my thoughts, not your thoughts. So don't try to outthink God. Down into the desert. Woo! I'm a little bit reluctant to go to the New Testament and show you this. Well, read some more. I'll do this in a minute.
And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live.
Amen. Everywhere this river goes, it's going to cause life.
Yeah. Amen.
Not death, life. Woo! If we could just get this river flowing through here this morning.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You would see something. I was just thinking, What if we could get that river flowing through Biltmore Holiness Temple? And flow down through that where Garnish says, you know, G.A. He'd be healed. He's about spent his life. I know that's what they think about me, but I'm just beginning to live.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Glory.
Oh, we don't need you. Well, I need you. And you really need me, whether you realize it or not. I've got things I ain't never taught you yet. Well, the Lord would teach me. Well, he'd have to raise up somebody with the experience.
Amen.
Everywhere this river goes, it brings life.
Yes.
But I want you to tell me this. It's not going to bring life to everybody. It tells you here everything that moves.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, it had a little life in it,
yes.
If it moved.
Amen.
But when the river come down, it had more life. All right, read on now.
And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither.
A multitude of fish, or a multitude of converts. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. Fish represents individual.
Amen.
Sea represents masses of people. And we are right on the very verge of this happening.
Yes.
It's a prophetic picture of what God's going to do in the end time. All right, read some more.
For they shall be healed, and everything shall live, whither the river cometh.
All right. Then read another verse.
And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engada even till Englium.
Yeah.
They shall be a space to spread for nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many.
Here he is simply telling you that it's not going to be a mixed multitude, but it's going to be fish of its kind.
Yes.
Amen.
What does he mean? He means there's going to be a mass revival in America, South America, Central America. Oh, hallelujah. Every nation is going to experience this revival.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
But it's going to be after their kind.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You haven't saw anything. Oh, I've been in every visitation since latter rain. And I'm here to tell you, I haven't saw anything comparing to this revival that's on the way coming. You may say that. I know Brother Roland said the other night, it's not revival. It's his presence.
Right.
But anywhere his presence is, it's going to cause revivals to come.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't care what you call them. In his presence is fullness of joy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It simply meant he's going to stamp out all the weeping and all the sorrow. Hallelujah. And all the afflictions. And we're going to see a habitation of God that we've never saw before. Get ready.
Yes, sir.
How many of you are preparing yourself?
Yes.
Prepare yourself.
Yes.
Get ready.
Yes.
Woo! Hallelujah. Get out of this penny-ante business. Start doing business. Oh, hallelujah. You know, years ago we started out giving tens. Then we finally got up giving hundreds. Now he wants us to give thousands.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's right.
You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
And it was easy to give tens. A little harder to give hundreds. And it's still harder for some people to turn loose thousands.
Yes.
But practice it. Practice it.
Amen.
Oh, I'm telling you the truth. If you will practice what I'm telling you, it's going to release you.
Yes. Hallelujah.
It'll release you. And you'll start thinking different. And when you think different, you're going to talk different.
Amen. Praise your name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I want something. I like something. I ain't going to even look at the price. Wrap it up.
Thank God. Hallelujah.
You don't wrap it up, put it in the bag. I'm taking it home.
Yes.
I mean that. Oh, I know our thing. I know the way Greg thinks here. He's cheap as he can get it. I'm that way too in some things. But I've got to stop that. If you ever get in the habit of buying at Hamrick's or these discount houses, you can't even go to Belts no more and shop. Well, I shop a lot at Hamrick's.
He's right on, brother.
I buy all my neckties at Hamrick's because they're just $2.98. I buy two of them, cut one off, make a handshake out of one, wear the other one, and I don't have but about $6 in both. I go to Belts, they want $49 for a tie and handshake. I'm giving you a secret now. And I go to the wholesale place and buy my suits, and I mingle with these high class preachers, and they say, "Where'd you get that suit? None of your business." Well, glory. No, I ain't telling them all the things God's learnt me. Come on, saints, hallelujah. Let's learn that we're not penny pinchers. Come on, let's learn. Think, oh glory, think like a millionaire. Act like one. Save all you can save, but act like a millionaire. Oh, glory to God. I'm talking about going into this ministry now. Oh, hallelujah. You see, I could tell you stories. I pastored in Tocoa when Oral Roberts was there. But this is before he went into healing ministry. I pastored in Fuquay Arena after Oral Roberts had pastored the same church. And in them hours, him and Evelyn both wore glasses because they thought it looked more dignitary for a preacher, you know, to wear glasses. He left Tocoa. Clyde Lawson owns a junkyard east of Tocoa. And a motor fell on his foot, crushed it, and they called the pastor, Oral Roberts. And he come over there and prayed for him, and God healed him of that foot instantly. That's the first miracle that the Lord performed for Oral Roberts. He left there and went to Elam, Oklahoma, and went to the university and started his healing ministry. He had to borrow the money from the bank to buy the first tent. I guess he could buy the bank now. Come on. I'm trying to show you, don't despise the day of small things. A few years ago, I set a church in order up in Minnesota, and I went up there to the head of the Mississippi River, and I stepped over that thing. But you come down to Memphis and try to step over it.
Amen.
And go on down to New Orleans and try to step over it.
Amen.
My God, you can't tell where the sea ends and the river starts or vice versa. That's what I'm trying to show you today. And that's what God... Oh, hallelujah. And that's what God says in the second chapter of Joel. They shall run as horses. And the next page says, and as horsemen. You can't tell where the horse stops and the man starts or vice versa. This is where we're coming. You are coming into a place that people can't tell the difference in you and God. They don't know where God stops and you start. Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the eruptions of God in the earth, a manifestation of God being manifest in the earth.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. And the very minute you even think about turning around, you're in a desolate place. And the first thing you say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Face the east. Keep going east. Keep going into something new. I don't advise you to do what I do. I said, what do? The devil goes to tempt me, I buy something else. He tell me I can't afford this, I can't afford that. I'll show you. You'll get in trouble. No. God never got in trouble.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Sometimes I've got to where I didn't know what I was going to do, but I never would have confessed it. Keep on going, all right, read some more for me.
Let me see where I'm at. 11. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt.
We just got to salt the devil down and let him roam. This marshland is demons. That's where they dwell. So we're just going to give it a good salting. What are you talking about? God said you are the salt of the earth. Did he not say that? How many of you remember? I don't know. I may be the only antique that's here. How many of you remember when you were small, hog killing time? Oh, that would be beyond your day. There's a few remembers it. Well, when it'd get cold enough, we'd kill a hog, you know. And we'd take that meat, I'm talking about fat back now, I'm not talking about this here old skin stuff, I'm talking about fat back 2 to 3 inches thick. We'd take and put a layer of salt in a big old box and put that meat down and put another layer of salt and put another slab of meat on there and we'd salt that meat down. Hallelujah. And brother, you talk about some real good, I'd rather have it than ham.
Amen.
Not all the time, but sometimes. We're going to salt the devil's playground down.
Amen.
We're going to fix him where he can't do a thing.
Praise God.
Amen.
You know how you get rid of snails? Huh? Put salt on them, they melt. Just be egregious about that. That's exactly what we're going to do to the devil.
Hallelujah.
To these evil spirits. We're going to pour salt on them and watch them melt.
Yes,
amen. And there ain't going to be no more.
Amen.
Praise God.
Whew, hallelujah. All right, read some more.
And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat.
Woo, my God. all trees for meat. One translation says that they are palm trees. But I want to go a step further with this, if you allow me. I'm talking about end time now. Turn to Revelation 22 and 2, and I'll try not to detour in that chapter very long, but 22 and 2.
In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit.
And bare its fruit every month.
And yielded her fruit every month.
My God, you can't even imagine that. Hello? It bears 12 kind of fruit, and every month it changes the fruit. Now, you guys and you fellas that's really hung up on gifts, you lost. I want you to quit thinking in terms of gifts and go to thinking in terms of the Spirit.
Amen.
Manifestation. If I don't have it this month, I'll get it next month. You didn't hear what I said. If I can't tend to it this month, I'll tend to it next month.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Glory to God. Raise your hand, let the glory run down your elbow.
Thank you, Lord.
If I can't deal with it this time, I'll get it next month.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Hallelujah.
That's what God is saying here.
Amen.
Woo, praise God. And where is it? Banks. What good is a bank? If a river didn't have a bank, it would become a lake. Hello? And if you don't have banks to contain this, it's going to run wild on you. And I've saw a lot of wild folks in the spirit realm.
Amen.
Have you ever saw any wild folks in the spirit? Where do you get that at? Well, the Bible said they act like a wild ass that sniffs at the wind. Well, amen. There's a lot of holding folk like wild ass. They can't harness them. You can't bridle them. You can't do nothing to them. They're a god in their own sight. Going to do their own thing. But here we've got banks. Oh, hallelujah. And on each side of the banks is trees that bearing fruit.
Amen.
And the fruit is our meat. Have you ever been up against a mountain and want God to deliver you? Well, the Bible says, talk to the mountains. Actually, what God wants you to do is to get in the river. And if you get into that river, mountain that's right here, it soon becomes behind you. God has moved it. But how did he move it? By moving you.
Amen.
Come on, saints, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Some of you have been praying 40 years, God moved the mountain. And what he wants you to do is to get in the stream, and you'll let the mountain come behind you, and it'll be gone.
Amen.
Quit praying God to move the mountain. Say, God, put me in the spirit.
Yes.
Amen.
And I'll guarantee you, your mountain will disappear.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, there may be many curves and many, what do they call them? White caps or rocks to go over.
White water.
How many of you sailed over that kind of water in the spirit?
Amen.
Huh? Dodging the rocks.
Amen.
Well, if you haven't, it's because you don't have too much experience. You are going to have to dodge some. But remember, he's carrying you back to the beginning where there's fruit on each side.
Yes. Amen.
You've tasted of the good things of God.
Yes,
you've tasted of the fourth dimension. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You've been out there where you either had to swim or tread water. How many of you have ever been out in the deep water that you either had to swim or tread water? And you get tired, but you still had to do it. Huh? That's where you need to learn how to float. And you won't have to put forth no effort. God's so unique. He's told us all this. Look at the hummingbird. Little old bitty thing. Ain't big as your thumb, but. Yet, there's a species of the hummingbirds that flies across the Atlantic Ocean. What? It takes you and I 8 hours to fly a plane across that thing. But when that little old hummingbird starts out on that journey, he picks him up a little quill, a little stick in his claws, and he flies till he's just about exhausted. Then he drops that little stick down in the water. He lands and rests on it. It floats him around, and he rests. And he rests. And when he gets good and rested, picks it up, takes off again. How many of you are carrying your resting stick with you?
Amen.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you carry your resting stick with you?
Amen.
My God. You see, one thing leads to another. 28th chapter of Isaiah, you can find your resting stick. Do you want to know it?
Yes.
If you don't, well, we won't read it.
Amen.
Verse 9, we begin.
Whom shall he teach knowledge?
See, you got to be teachable before you can find that resting stick.
Amen.
And some people, you can't tell them nothing.
Amen.
My God. Come on, how many of you have ever run up on somebody? They know everything, you can't tell them nothing. I just shut up and let them show how ignorant they are. I'm honest with you. I ain't interested in arguing. Whom shall the Lord teach knowledge? Whom shall he let understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Double weaning. Why would he say that? Is it read that way?
Yeah.
It's a double weaning. Some of you are come out of the denomination, but you still have the milk of that denomination sent to you through the mail. And you're still just as bad off.
Right, still around.
Glory, glory.
Amen.
Reading all that garbage, traditional doctrine. Ain't it won't do you one bit of good.
Amen.
All right, read more.
For precept.
Yeah.
Okay. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little.
The right
there a little.
Teaching must be upon right teaching. Line upon line. It must not deviate. It's got to be lined up right.
That's right.
If you're ever going to have a double weaning.
Yes.
All right.
For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people.
All right. A stammering lip and another tongue will he speak to this people. Now, listen to what he said.
To whom he said, This is the rest wherewith.
This is the rest. Wherewith he caused the weary to rest. How many times have you dropped your stick and rested upon it? Hello? What do you mean? Oh, just pause in the midst of your flight and stammering lips, another tongue.
Amen.
And the first thing you know, you're rested.
Amen.
You're ready to continue your flight.
Amen.
Flight what? Eastward.
Amen. Yes.
Eastward.
Glory.
Praise God. Now, but I don't know what I ought to read in the morning. I guess I should.
And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.
They won't hear. Come on, they won't hear. How many of you understand the majority of the Pentecostal churches, they won't even confess you've got the Holy Ghost unless they hear you talk in tongues?
That's right.
They won't hear. But there's more evidence of the Holy Ghost than just talking in tongues.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said they spoke in tongues and prophesied, or prophesied and spoke in tongues. But they won't accept that. Well, girl, you're getting quiet on me.
Amen.
Some of you may not accept it, but it don't matter. It's what the Word said. But they wouldn't hear. Why wouldn't they hear? Now, let me show you what happened to them, because they had a set pattern. Listen to this verse now.
But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept.
In other words, the word of the Lord was unto them doctrine. They made a doctrine out of the Bible. That's not what God intended for it to be. The word God is not intended for you to live by it. It's intended for you not to fall in the same trap they fell in. Use it as an example.
That's right.
And stay out of the pitfalls.
Amen.
All right, read.
Hear a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward.
Now what's happened to them? They've turned it into a doctrine. Hear a little, there a little, and they fell backwards. And out of the fell backward, they were taken.
To be broken and snared.
Broken and snared, entrapped. Oh, glory to God. And even in this hour, they are entrapped. And then they raise up deliverance ministries in the church. And this is funny. The patriarch David said, they're standing in the snare, and the snare has broken. You're
Amen.
Standing in a broke trap, hollering, I want out, I want out. You're too darn lazy to walk out. You done broke the trap.
Yes, glory. Hallelujah.
Why don't you just quit praying, I want out, and walk on out?
Amen.
And be free like he wants you to be free. My God.
Amen.
How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Is that all right?
Amen.
Is that all right, brother?
That's good.
How many of you know the trap's broke?
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
My Father. How do I know it's broke? 19th chapter of St. John and verse 30. He bowed his head and said, it's finished.
Amen.
I enjoy, I love to hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, hallelujah, Moses was jumping up and down. He's telling God, let me go. I can't tell him nothing. He knows everything. But just let me go down there and talk with him.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the Lord said, well, go ahead. So him and old brother Elijah come down there together. One on one side, one on the other side. representing the prophets and the law. I can hear old Moses said, listen, you remember when I led them out of Egypt? Hey, God, they come out of there 40 years, back wages collected.
Yes,
collected 40 years of back wages. Hallelujah. Not a feeble one among them. And we took off on a journey. Yeah, glory to God. Woo! But Moses said, it ain't a drop in the bucket what you're doing. Good God, you're delivering whole creation.
Yes.
The whole creation's delivered. Woo! It's not just 3 or 4 million people. It's everybody in the universe.
Yes.
Now they can walk out. Glory to God. Walk out with all the benefits of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. My brother Varner was discussing this with me, and he said, Brother McCurry, sonship is coming to the front again. I said, I know it, but I've often wondered, why did the people quit preaching it? Moses was the first son. Hello. Jesus was the second son. And now there's a corporate son raising up to bring deliverance to the universe through this fourth dimension in the third day.
Praise God.
Glory. Praise God. Do you see what I'm trying to show you?
Amen.
You are setting right on ready. I hope. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Oh, I like this. Somebody was talking to me the other day and said, well, the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. I said, that's right. But they said, well, what does it mean if it don't mean coming out of the grave? I said, my God, the dead in Christ never been in the grave. There's never been a redeemed person buried. See, if you knew what the Word of God taught, you would be glorious happy.
Yes. Amen.
How many of you know you're already dead in Christ?
Yes.
Amen.
You are dead to denominations, to traditions, and to all of the formulas of religion, and you are dead to all religiosities.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you are not, I'll give you a leave of absence. You can go visit some of these traditional churches and sit there for a Sunday or two. You won't sit long, till you'll be hunting.
Glory.
I remember what Diamond in Sarasota, a preacher friend of mine was struggling with a church and couldn't get it started. And I had some members that lived on that side of town. And I went and told him, I said, I want five of you families to stop at that church and put your tithes in there and sit under that ministry and back him up. And they said, well, why do we have to do that? I said, because I say to. Well, they said, can't we come back to church? I said, yes, when you get that church established. They pestered me for a week after a week. And we're coming back home. I said, no, you're not coming yet. But see, them five families helped that brother be encouraged, got the church on the roll and growing. Then I said, all right, come on home. Boy, did they shout. I couldn't hardly preach for them a shouting just because they got in the atmosphere where the kingdom of God was. I heard what you said. I hope he don't point me to another church. But how many of you know kingdom folks don't want to do that? An old order preacher ain't going to tell you to do nothing like that. Nah. If they do, they say, bring your tithes down here first. I am not afraid of my job. My creed says out there, I won't be satisfied till I can raise up 1,000 sons that outstrip me in everything. And then I'll be satisfied.
Hallelujah.
You guys can out-preach me anyway. But I'm here to tell you, you need somebody to keep an eye on you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Yes.
Pardon me for wandering like that, but how many of you can see we are all ready? Well, I've got to finish. I want to show you what raised in Christ means. You remember when Jesus went down to the synagogue and there was a daughter of Abraham down there. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And she had been bent over for 18 years.
Yes.
And Jesus said to her, daughter, be thou loose from thy infirmities. And the Bible said she straightened up.
Amen.
Well, what the word Greek means here, the dead in Christ shall rise, it means we have been over like in the Olympic to run a race. Our foot scotched. We are ready. When the pistol fires, we start out running. We get up and start. That's exactly what, when the trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ stands up. That's exactly what it means.
Amen.
You straighten up.
Amen.
Well, where are you going? To the desert. To the desert.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Where are we reading that now?
Shall grow all the trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade.
Now, the leaves shall not fade, but they shall be for medicine.
That's right.
Over in the Revelation, they were past tense. Are you reading in Revelation or what?
Ezekiel.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
But in Revelation chapter 22 and 2, he said, these leaves were. Everybody say were.
Were.
Thank God there's something better now.
Yes, glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You don't have to make tea. With the leaves. We don't even have water peel.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Don't get offended at me. I got vitamins. But I sure would rather move in this.
Amen.
Than to take a handful of pills.
Amen.
Come on, how about yourself?
Amen.
Woo, praise God. This is where we're headed. Well, hallelujah. Nah, I'm going to go a little bit, Father.
Yes, praise God.
Read some more with me.
In which one?
Verse 13.
In Ezekiel.
Okay. The leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed.
How many of you want to come into this place where you can't eat all the fruit up?
Amen.
Always something left.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember one time. In Sarasota, we were having spaghetti. Dale probably remember this. And the telephone rang. We done had portions out in the plates. And the telephone rang, and president of Elam Bible Institution was coming by with Brother Arthur Dodds-White, missionary from Uganda, Africa. Well, I said, what are we going to do? I said, everybody put this here spaghetti back in the pot. We put all that biscuit back in the pot. Hallelujah. And poured all the sauce in it and stirred it up. Then when they come, we all sit down to the clean plate. We all filled their plate up. Everybody got all they could eat and still had some left. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if we'd have let it went like we had had it, they wouldn't have gotten nothing. Or I'd have had to take them out for dinner.
Amen.
How many of you raise your hand and just say, thank God, there's always a way around problems?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord. They didn't eat it all up here. There was some left over. And I'm here to tell you, once you move into this realm that I'm talking about, you never run out. You always have something for somebody else. You all, oh glory to God, you're walking through this earth, you have healing in your hands, deliverance in your mouth. Woo, hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And your tongue's going to be glad.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
How many of you want to start delivering, folks?
Amen.
Well, you have to start.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You got to start somewhere.
Praise God.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And isn't it strange that Revelation ends the same way that this book talks about?
Amen.
Huh? How many of you know Revelation is the end? So we're talking about end time. We're talking about end time ministry. And the book of Revelation, chapter 22, is the last chapter. And it ends just exactly like this book's talking about. Starts off with a river of water. Huh?
Amen.
Turn over that 22nd chapter of Revelation, verse 1. Read it.
And he showed me a pure river of water of life.
Do you hear what he said? A pure river? Now, my God, the river in Ezekiel come from the house of God out from under the threshold. But look at where this one come from.
Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God.
Proceeding out of what?
The throne of God.
The throne of God.
Hallelujah.
And conjunction.
Of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, why did he say and conjunction? Lamb. Simple. You and I are the Lamb. We are the expression of God. And that river, oh glory. Now Jesus taught the same thing. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow what?
Rivers.
Huh?
Rivers.
Not one, but plurality.
Yes, glory.
But see, you haven't never bursted the dam yet.
Amen. Oh yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You still want to damn it up just for your own good. Praise God. And if you want to do some real research, I'm tired and I'm going to unplug here. But you ought to do some real research. Go back to that New Testament and look where Jesus was. And what position he's in when he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And look what feast he is in when he said that. And you'll find out how close we are.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We're celebrating the feast of conquest now because it's not redemption. We already redeemed.
Amen.
But we haven't taken everything God says was ours yet. And it's time we got busy.
Amen.
It's time we began to rise up. Glory to God. And tell the devil, you're not pushing me around no more. Hallelujah. Some of you, if you want to buy a car, you go in there and whine around and ask the car, well, what can I do? Cut it out. Go in there and tell them what you'll do.
Amen.
Well, they won't do it. Well, sayonara. Telling me what I can do and what I can't do, I'll tell you what I'll do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are more than conquerors.
Hallelujah.
We're not the ones that's been conquered. We're more than conquerors.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. I'll give you another beautiful thought on this. What chapter is this?
47.
World in perfection. What's going to bring it like that? The river of God. You taking notes, draw a ring around that 47. And have, it's the world number plus perfection.
Amen. Amen.
What's going to bring it to that? The rivers of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, the river.
We are the rivers.
It comes out of us.
Okay.
That's what's going to, my God.
The rivers.
And it starts in the throne of God and flows out of us.
Yes.
And brings healing, brings deliverance. Well, hallelujah. Will you stand with me?